The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Years ago, before I entered the seminary, one of the things I did on Sunday mornings after we had found a seat was to prepare for worship by opening my hymn book and reading through the hymns that we would be singing that day. I think it's a worthwhile practice, and I still do it on those Sundays I'm not leading worship, and I commend it to you. Anyone who did that this morning, or who this past week was looking through the family catechetical hour, might have wondered what was going on. The opening hymn today was an Advent hymn, and two others we'll sing are Christmas hymns. And yet it's February 2nd, the middle of the season of Epiphany. We're long past Christmas. Indeed, today has been 40 days since we celebrated our Lord's incarnation, nearly a month and a half. So why are those hymns being used today? Well, 40 days after Jesus was born, in obedience to the ceremonial law, the Holy Family went to the temple in Jerusalem to offer the sacrifice required for the purification of Mary after she had given birth, and in order to present Jesus as a firstborn to the Lord. Purification and presentation. These events aren't part of our religious practice today. I venture that unless you saw that we would be celebrating these feasts and did a little extra homework, you'd be hard-pressed to explain what's behind these practices. The law concerning purification is found in Leviticus 12. When a woman gave birth to a son, she was not to touch anything holy nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying were completed. After she had waited 40 days, She was to bring a burnt offering and a sin offering to the priest, a lamb and a turtle dove, respectively, or if she couldn't afford a lamb, then two turtle doves. The priest would offer them before the Lord and make atonement for her. Then Moses writes, "She shall be clean." So it was in accordance with the law of the Lord that 40 days after she had given birth to Jesus, Mary with Joseph brought that required sacrifice to the temple for her purification. After the Passover, when the Lord had redeemed the children of Israel from Egypt by killing the firstborn of man and beast in Egypt in a single night, but sparing those who were in a home where the blood of the Passover lamb had been painted on the doorposts and on the lintel, the Lord had proclaimed, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine. You shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem." As the firstborn son of Mary, Jesus was the Lord's. He had to be presented to the Lord in the temple. As a firstborn son, the Redeemer had to be redeemed. And yet, Mary was a virgin, and her child was the sinless Son of God. What need was there in that case for any purification? Jesus' birth was as pure a birth as ever there could be. The firstborn of Mary was already the Lord's in a way that no one else ever was or could be. For Jesus is not only the firstborn son of Mary, he is also the only begotten Son of God. But all that Jesus did, he did not for himself, but for you and for your salvation. The purification of his mother Mary, his own presentation and redemption as the firstborn, these were for you in order to fulfill all righteousness for you, in order to be the perfect substitute for you, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, your sin and mine, by his pure and holy life and by his innocent suffering and death. This one who appeared suddenly in the temple is the salvation of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to God's people Israel. And God made sure that Jesus didn't go unnoticed when he came to the temple. The Lord had revealed to a devout and righteous man named Simeon that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ, before he had seen the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world. We aren't told how this revelation took place, nor do we know how long Simeon had been waiting. But somehow, on that 40th day after Jesus' birth, by his Spirit, the Lord prompted Simeon to come into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him, according to the custom of the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your words, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Simeon's words are familiar to us from the Nunc Dimittis, our post-communion canticle. A liturgical innovation of Martin Luther, they are quite fitting where he placed them in the divine service. But it's easy to miss their full meaning. What Simeon is saying when he says, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace," is, "I can die now, Lord, in peace. I'm ready to go. You've kept your promise. Now with my own eyes, I've seen the salvation you've prepared for the whole world, for Israel and for every nation." Jesus is the peace of God, the one in whom sinners are reconciled to God and God is reconciled to sinners. In seeing Jesus, in cradling him in his arms, Simeon had seen his salvation, the sacrifice for his sin. Now, of course, that sacrifice hadn't been offered yet. It would be 30-some years before this child would be nailed to a cross outside the city, lifted up to bring life to the world. But Simeon knew that it was as good as done. His salvation was as good as completed. Nothing could stop the Lord from accomplishing his purpose in this child, Jesus, the Christ. It would be easy to be jealous of Simeon, to be given to hold Jesus in your arms, to know without any doubt, by divine revelation, that he's your Savior. What a precious gift this is. What a glorious privilege. No wonder Simeon could say, "I'm ready to go now, Lord. I can die in peace." Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could have that same experience? In truth, you have. The purification of Mary and the presentation of our Lord are conveyed to you each week in the divine service. Here you are purified, atoned for, made clean as your Savior presents himself to you in the Holy Supper. As Simeon took Jesus in his arms and gave thanks to God, so you also are privileged to cradle him as his body is placed in your hands for you to eat, and to rejoice as his cleansing blood is given you to drink for your forgiveness and redemption. As surely as Jesus' blood of the new covenant flows down your throat, your sins are washed away, your transgressions are all covered, the record of your offenses against God is blotted out. As Jesus comes to us in this Holy Supper, he binds us together into a holy communion with one another and with all of the saints before us. But side by side with this wonderful communal aspect of the supper is the reality that in the supper, Jesus comes to you also personally and individually. When the general absolution is spoken to the congregation as a called and ordained servant of Christ, "And by his authority I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit," you might be tempted, particularly on those days when you're all too aware of your own most grievous fault, you might be tempted to doubt that these words could possibly apply to you. But in the supper there can be no doubt. In the supper there's no ambiguity. You receive the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ given for you, and you are given to drink the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Even more intimately than Simeon, who merely held the infant Jesus in his arms, your Savior gives himself to you to eat and to drink, thus uniting himself with you, his body uniting with yours, his life flowing through your veins. And so when you return to your seat after the supper, when you return to your home or your school or your work, you go in peace. You have been prepared to die. You are ready for heaven. For when you depart from the supper, you depart at peace with God. Jesus, who himself is your peace, accompanies you. You are reconciled to God through his cross. You are a citizen of God's kingdom, a member of his household. The favor of God is upon you. Thank God. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.